السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over receivers. The sickness and the disease which I have been discussing over the past few Jumu'ahs, it is not something that is specific or exclusive to the men. Even the ladies suffer from the same disease of pride, of arrogance. Many of them suffer from the same sicknesses and diseases that I am discussing. If we have to hear over the radio station or in the newspaper, if there is an announcement that there will be a discussion on heart problem, on weight problem, on any other kind of problem that people are suffering from, physical diseases that they are suffering from, then the person who is suffering from that disease, he looks forward to that program. He wants to listen to it. He wants to see how he can benefit from the discussion. Why? Because he believes that it is a sickness that he is suffering from, and he could be getting some tips, some ideas, some suggestions which will take him out of this sickness, out of this disease, and be a means of him gaining good health. So for physical health we are very much concerned, and there's nothing wrong with it. We have to be concerned about the physical health, because we cannot undertake any kind of ibadat, zikr, tilawat or anything if we don't have physical health. Without physical health, how can you undertake your ibadat? The person who is bedridden, the person who is paralyzed, the person who doesn't have any movement in his body, then how can this person make it to the masjid? How can he go to the masjid and make his salat? How can he go to the bazaar and marketplace and earn halal livelihood? The physical body, physical self has to be fit and healthy. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in many of his duas, he has taught us that we should make dua for good health. That is a different issue, that we ourselves have made ourselves sick because of our dietary problems, that we are unconcerned what we eat, when we eat, how much we eat. If there is a dawat and the biryani is tasty, that even if we have got a full stomach, but because it's very tasty, so we must eat. And if it is lunch, breakfast, supper, whatever meal it is, if there is a time for these meals, then whether we are full, we are hungry or we not, but if we are told that it's breakfast time, it's lunch time, it's supper time, so we go by time, and we consider it as a very important duty that now we must eat, whether we like it or not, because it is time for supper. Now where does it say in Sharia that they must eat supper time, you must eat lunch time, you must eat breakfast time? Therefore in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, one Hakim came there to Madina Tayyibah, some Christian sent him. One Christian, he came over and said he wants to treat the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But he waited and waited, there was nobody to treat there. He said, what is the problem? He said, we are a people who only eat when we are really hungry. And whilst we are still hungry, we stop eating. That means we don't overfill our bellies. We don't eat more than we should be eating. We eat that much which our stomachs can digest. We don't fill up our stomachs to the brim, or we don't eat up to the throat level. At present, most of us, what we do is we eat until the hollow of our eye gets filled. Our stomach is full long ago, but now we keep eating until our eyes also get filled and we can't take any more. So then if it leads to many different kinds of sicknesses and diseases, then we blame ourselves for that. And also the type of lifestyles that we are leading, all of us are in the same boat. Even though it may be a dini lifestyle, That is a different thing that the person may get reward for his sacrifices in the dini field. But the fact is that if you are going to get stressed out, so it is going to bring up many kinds of sicknesses in the body. So there's nothing wrong about showing concern for the person's physical self, physical body. You have to show concern because you can't do anything without that. Now when you are going to earn halal livelihood, and then you are going to eat that food, so that food will now bring a kind of desire in the heart of the person to do good deeds. So first he went and earned halal, and now that halal that's going in his system, that is what now will create the desire for good deeds and actions. So he must have a good, fit, healthy body to go and earn that. And then when the strength has come into the body, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives strength, so now he will have to fulfill all those rights and duties and obligations as a Muslim. So there's nothing wrong in showing concern, but at the same time, the same Quran Sharif and the same ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have discussed the sicknesses of the inner self, of the heart, of the batin, and that is what we are unconcerned about. How many people are really concerned about pride, about anger, about jealousy, about malice, about greed, about evil passions and desires that are engulfing our hearts? How many people do really go and find out what is the cure for this sickness that I am suffering from? At the most, we will get people coming all the time saying, make dua, why? I've got arthritis, I've got rheumatism, I've got heart problem, I've got lung problem, liver problem, my eyes are weak, my hearing is bad, my speech is now blurring, faulty. Now all these type of sicknesses, we will go and ask somebody to make dua, or we'll rush to the specialist, we'll go to the doctors. But what I am discussing now, the kibar and pride, it is such a disease that it destroys the iman of a person. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in fact long before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, if you have to look at the people of the past, then it was the pride that held them back, many, many of those kuffar. What was it that made them claim that they are the lords themselves? What is it that did not allow them to accept the message of the prophets of the past? What is it that kept them distance away from them? It was that same pride that made Fir'aun claim that he was Rabbukumul A'la. It was, I am your Lord. It was that same pride that made Haman and Namrud and Shaddad and all these people stay away from believing in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So sometimes it is pride against Allah ta'ala himself, that the person is too proud to worship Allah ta'ala. He is too proud to bow down and worship, because whoever has achieved anything in life, he has achieved it through humility, through tawazu. Whether we like it or not, it is achieved through humility. No other way can a person achieve whatever he may have achieved in life and in whichever field he may have achieved it. Ponder carefully over what I am telling you. That whether the person admits it or does not admit it, whether he is now very proud and arrogant, but whatever he has achieved through humility, which he may not have acknowledged. Because a person has to submit himself before some teacher, before he learns anything. Every student, what does he have to do? He has to go and listen to the teacher. From grade 1, what do? We submit ourselves to the teacher. The teacher says this is A, then we say, well, it's A. If the teacher says it's 1, then we say it's 1. But if the teacher has to write on the board 1, and then we say, why is it called 1? Why should it not be called 2? Why should it be not be 3? Why is 1 written like that? In everything, if he starts questioning why, will he ever learn if he's got pride? So he has to humble himself and he has to accept what the teacher is saying is the truth, that is how it is written. So from grade 1, in fact long before that, from his mother's lap, he's learning already. He has to humble himself even there. When he was not able to eat and drink and walk and talk, and when he was drinking the mother's milk, At that time, if he was arrogant and proud, if he had some kind of intelligence, to be proud and arrogant, and he says, why must I drink milk from my mother's breast? And he doesn't want to drink milk. He says, no, I will eat what I like. Then could he have grown up? So the whoever has achieved whatever in whichever field, whether he acknowledges it or he does not acknowledge it, the beginning of all that has always been tawazu. He has to submit himself, whether directly, indirectly, willfully or not, but he has to submit himself, he has to humble himself, then only he starts progressing. His knowledge increases the more he humbles. He has to make use of those books, he has to make use, nowadays we will say there's computers, and there's internet, and there's so much of other literature and whatever is available, but he does make use of all those things to go further and further in his life. So without humility and without this tawazu, a person cannot get anywhere. So this pride is such a thing that has kept people away even from worshipping Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself. And then it was the same pride that kept people away from accepting the Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as prophets and messengers who brought message from Allah ta'ala for guidance of mankind. They saw all the qualities and all the attributes, and they saw all the sifat of those Nabis. They saw the wonderful akhlaq, they saw the morals, they saw the etiquettes. They saw all the beauties in that Nabi's teachings, but they feared that they will lose their position, they will lose their seats, they will lose their power bases. So therefore they refused to accept. So it is such a serious disease. Therefore the Quran Sharif has discussed it. The hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the ahadiths have discussed it. And something that all the mashayikh throughout history, what they look at is how much of tawazu has come into that person's life, how much of humility has come into his murid's life. No matter how much of namaz that murid makes, and no matter how much of zikr and tilawat he makes, and no matter how much of wazifas he reads, but if his arrogance is not gone, if his pride is not gone, and they gauge all these things from the movements of that person, so then they will never give that person any kind of recognition. They will congratulate him on that ibadah. They say, you've got long way to go still. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if you look at the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you will find the ahadith filled with incidents. One person came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, eat with the right hand, because he was eating with the left hand. If the person is mazur, if the person is helpless, he's got some such sickness or some kind of a pain, or he can't manage eating with the right hand, then it is different. But if there's nothing wrong, then he must eat with the right hand. Now that's a teaching of Sharia, that do all good things with the right hand. Make istinja with the left hand, clean your nose with the left hand, but do all good things with the right hand. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, eat with the right hand. But because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, now we must remember that lots of people came into Islam, and in the early days they required education, ta'lim, before they reformed and changed themselves. And many others came who just came in as munafiqs and hypocrites. They just came in because they saw that now the Muslims are victorious in a battle, or they are succeeding, they are getting a lot of war booty coming in and lots of futuhat, as we call it. So then they said, they accept Islam so that at least we can enjoy those benefits too. So different kinds of people came into Islam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recognized them. But once the person said, I am a Muslim, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam accepted their Islam. We were told that we must look at their outward appearance and their performance of salat, their facing of the qibla, their recitation of the Quran Sharif if they are doing so. Whatever they are doing which are from Islamic practices, then we will accept that person as a Muslim. Until and unless we don't see any kind of action in his life which is a clear and conspicuous sign of some other faith and religion. Like a person says, no, I am accepting Islam and I am 100% Muslim and I am going to pray and I am going to fast and I am going to do this and do that. So we accept him. We say, well, that time we are not going to say that, no, you are only accepting Islam because you want to marry this woman. We don't know what is in his heart. That is between him and Allah Ta'ala. As long as he is saying that I'm accepting Islam for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I believe in His oneness, in His greatness. I believe in His messenger Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the final messenger. I believe in all His angels, in all His books. I believe in life after death. I believe on the day of judgment. I believe in taqdeer. I will pray 5 times a day. I will fast in Ramadan. I will give zakat if due, and I will go hajj for hajj if farz. And I will stay away from all haram. Now if the person says all those things, then who are we to then say that no, you are accepting Islam for just for money, or just to do some collection, or just to marry some woman? That's between him and Allah Ta'ala. Now we will accept him as a Muslim. So in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also, people came like that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam accepted them as Muslims. But he was the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and he could make out, or he was informed by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, that so and so is a munafiq, he is a hypocrite. Ayat of the Quran Sharif were revealed in many cases. But yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam accepted them. So until and unless, of course, after that the person is seen doing something, we see him going to the church and praying, we see this person bowing down before some idol in some temple, or he is wearing a cross around his neck, or he is doing those things which are distinguishing features of some other faith and religion, then we are going to reject. But until then we are going to accept. So now this person came, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, eat with the right hand. So out of pride he said, I cannot eat with the right hand. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, so you cannot eat with the right hand? Because he realized wahi was all the time coming to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that this person can eat with the right hand, but out of pride he is not eating. So it is reported that after that all his life he could never eat with the right hand. His hand itself he couldn't make use of, because of that pride. So this pride can come through different sources. It can come through different sources. Therefore Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala on one occasion he went forward to make the salat. We who become imams, how much we must take lessons from these incidents. He went forward to make the salat, and after a little while he moved back. He didn't lead the salat. And then he said, look for another imam here. Because the thought came into my mind that I am better than this congregation. Just the thought came. Not that he believed so. Just on the thought that I am better than somebody, he refused to read the namaz. Of course, we cannot reach those stages. But we take lessons from that. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to ask Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala, and used to ask Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, that see, he used to ask the people. Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him, see, look into me. In my actions, see if you find any faults, any weakness. Tell me where I am going wrong. Imagine the Khalifa of the Mu'mineen, after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and after Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, we know that in his time how much Islam spread and what qualities he had, but he's all the time concerned that where am I going wrong. He asked Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala that see, where do I have any kind of hypocrisy or nifaq in me? Is there any trait of nifaq in me, hypocrisy in me? And we are all satisfied that alhamdulillah we are got absolutely no problem in our lives. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has warned the ummah about this sickness, this disease. Therefore I am discussing this at length. Therefore we are going on over the past few jumu'ahs, that if we can cure ourselves of this disease of pride, and pride I mentioned that does not mean that you cannot wear a good shoe, or you can't travel in a good car, or can't stay in a good home. Pride means that the person looks down upon others who do not possess that kind of wealth, that kind of property, that kind of knowledge, that kind of ibadat they are unable to make, that kind of zikr and tilawat they are unable to make, that kind of deen khidmat they are unable to make. So those who are engaged in any of these things, or those who have been blessed with these type of ni'mats from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then they look down upon the others, that you are inferior to us. They treat them like that. They do not want to sit with the poor. If there is a party, if there is a walima, if there is a function that is taking place, if there is a meal that has been organized, the moment the person sees that some poor person is going to come and sit next to him, or the person who does not have that kind of standing in the family, he is a nice person, a good person, a pious person, honest person, truthful person, but just that he doesn't have that kind of bucks, as they say, doesn't own that kind of car, doesn't have that kind of home. He's a simpleton. So now if he has to sit next to the person who has got everything, then this person will slowly move out from there. Or in his heart he's agitated all the time. On one occasion one person came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And this person was suffering from some kind of sickness, some kind of disease, some skin disease he was suffering from. So the people started moving away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam called him right next to him. He said, you sit next to me and you eat with me in the same plate. So to break this pride requires an effort, that the person has to do it. Even his nafs likes it or not, but he goes against that which his nafs demands. So that is the sign that this person is now looking down upon these poor people, that he wants to stay far away from them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is educating the ummah that this pride is a very serious disease. We should always look into our hearts and see, where am I going wrong? And when the person is going to look, he will find lots of shortcomings and weaknesses. One great alim, when he became bayat upon the hands of Mujaddid-e Millat Rahmatullah Alayh, then when Hazrat found that this person has got some kind of pride in him, he said, what you must do is put the shoes right of the musallis outside. Now in his khanqah is making put people's shoes right to break that pride. If you have to look at Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi's writings, so many things you will find there. One person, Mutrif, he saw Muhlab dragging his clothes and garments on the ground with pride and arrogance. The limit that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has placed for the menfolk is the ankles. Below the ankles, whether you put it with pride or you do not put your pants with pride below the ankles, it is both haram. One is the person is not doing it out of pride, meaning that he is wearing the garment properly, but due to his stomach suddenly blowing up, or he had a little extra meal somewhere, extra food he had, and now the pant is slipping below the ankle. Then he's not doing it out of pride. And that is what Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu in those incident which they quote. But when the person goes to the tailor and says that must make sure that my pants are far below the ankle, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says Allah ta'ala does not cast a glance of rahmat, it means, on that person. He is deprived of the rahmat, of the mercy of Allah ta'ala. And so many other things have been mentioned. So now this person was doing it. Now when Hazrat Mutrif told him that, look, put your pants up or put your garment up, Allah ta'ala does not like this. He said, don't you know who I am? He was a young person. So he said immediately, don't you know who I am? He said, yes, I know very well who you are. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created you from a dirty drop, the sperm. That the person ghusl became wajib on that father. So you were created from that, you were made from that. That was your beginning. And your end, when you will be in the qabr, then all the worms and the will eat up your body, it will decay. And there will be such stench that will come out after your body erupts and decays. That will be the end. That people will run far away from there. Go to those disaster-stricken areas where thousands of bodies are sometimes lying for days. Then when the people have to remove those bodies, ask them how difficult it is to even go close to those bodies. So that is your end. And at present also, what are you proud of, my dear young friend? He says, look into your stomach and look into your body. Everywhere you will find nothing but filth. Which part of your body doesn't have filth? Look into your nostrils, look into your mouth, look into your stomach, look into your kidneys and into your bladder and into your intestines. Then what are you walking with proud and arrogance in this earth of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So that is the cure and that is the ilaj of kibar, that the moment the person starts thinking that he is Mr. Somebody, then he must straightaway look into the beginning, the end, and what he is carrying in his body at present. Then see how the treatment will be effective. Once again, the time has expired very, very quickly. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of showing concern over the sicknesses of the heart, and spiritual heart, just as we are so concerned that the moment the person gets a slight pain in the chest, rush to the hospital, rush to the doctors, rush to the specialist. Why? Because it could be heart problem. So just like that we must show concern. When we see some signs and symptoms of pride and of malice and of greed and of jealousy and of envy, then say, rush to the specialist of the heart, spiritual specialist, and ask him for prescription. If not, then we will be thinking that we are somebody, but in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we are absolutely nothing. And on the day of Qiyamah, we will be raised like ants, and people will be trampling over those people because of that pride. May Allah ta'ala protect me, protect you. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems of the entire ummah, and bless us with the best of this world and the best of the hereafter.